97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Tony Colombo in studio with producer Chad Ellis.
Hello, hello.
And we have got a packed show for you today. You may have noticed over the last couple of weeks, we have added a little bit of some words there to the name of the show, Second Amendment Radio. We've been on the air here for well over a year on 97.1. And we have, been the go-to place for gun news, Second Amendment radio discussion, when gun issues are in the news or when people have questions about their gun rights or questions about, owning a firearm and all the things that go along with that. We've been the place to go. We've answered those questions, and we're going to continue to be the place to go for all of that gun-related talk, Second Amendment radio stuff. Obviously, the election is going to have a lot of Second Amendment issues as part of the election, and we are going to continue to be that here for you. That is not going anywhere, but we are also going to sort of expand the show a little bit. As you know, if you've been listening for a long time, we have always also talked to outdoorsmen. We've talked to people that are in the hunting industry, in the fishing industry, the camping industry, and all of those sort of things. So now we are just going to encompass all of that in the show every single week. So it's going to be Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. So I think those topics all complement each other very, very well. So I think a lot of the gun folks out there are also hunters and fishermen and outdoorsmen, and all those sort of things. So just more good content to serve you. So that is why you are hearing us now saying Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And we have a perfect example of how that's going to work with this week's show, as we have a fisherman, we have a hunter, and we have a gun guy all on the show today. That is exactly right. That is the voice of Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman who's been on the show many, many times with us. He's going to start the show with us. So Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors is going to be joining us. And also T.J. Kurgan is going to be joining us in a little bit from Tactical. I don't even know how to say it on the air.
Something like that.
Yeah,
some
Tactical
kind of
S word is going to be joining us a little bit later in the show as well. So we've got you covered on all of your bases. Mike, great to see you. You were here a couple weeks ago. I think you were preparing for a big tournament.
I was preparing to get my butt kicked. That's what happened.
And that's the tournament, one of the tournaments that you really made your mark on a couple of years ago when you won.
Last year. Yep.
Yeah.
Just
didn't work out?
Did not at all. Not to make excuses, because they're not excuses. It's just actual reasons. I went down a road that I normally wouldn't go down. I listened to other people. Been really busy coaching football and work and life and all that kind of stuff. And didn't get out and practice at all. I showed up a couple days ahead of time, or day and a half.
You're the defending champ. You thought you had in the bag.
Yeah, I didn't think that at all. But I went out and caught some fish deep on structure, which I like to do, and thought, here we go. And I'd heard all the talk. Everybody was going down the bank with the trolling motor on, fishing shallow, catching fish, and didn't pay much attention to it till 3 hours into the tournament, and I hadn't gotten a bite. Mm. And so I went up shallow and did that, and caught one little fish the first day. And so I was basically screwed. So I knew I wasn't going to make the third day, the cut. So I thought, you know what, why waste the trip here? I've never been to Stockton a whole lot. So I did exactly, I went out and said, hey, I'm going to parts of the lake I've never been. I'm going to go up shallow the way everybody says they're catching them, and I'm going to go just learn something. At least it's not a waste, right?
Sure.
It's not a waste. I'm going to go learn some parts of the lakes and fish out of my comfort zone. That's not what I do well. And did that till about 1, didn't have a bite. Went back out deep about 1:30, and bam, 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 had four keepers like that. And then come to find out, the guy that won it was doing exactly what I was doing in practice, fishing out deep. Just the bites were a little slow, and you had to bounce from spot to spot, and a timing thing. So congratulations to Brandon. You know, he lives 15 minutes from the lake, so.
That's cool.
Great dude.
It's his home lake.
Home lake, yeah. So, yeah, it was a bad deal. That's what I preach. Don't listen to any of that doc talk. Do your thing. And And since I didn't practice,
you literally do. You were here 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about fishing, and we're talking about like guys who get into
heavy-duty
tournament fishing. And you were like, you know, just stick, you know, do what you
know.
I know
it can happen quick. It can happen bam, bam, bam in 20 minutes. And at the end of the day, I went to one spot, and I literally put four keepers in the five cast.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then I just recently, I got back from Toyota Owners Tournament at Lake Pickwick, never been there. Took a good friend of mine, Gabe Montgomery, the 10-horse Monty. We went down there, had us a blast. Didn't know the lake at all. Made a something I normally never did in the old boat. Made a 46-mile run one way.
Wow.
71 miles an hour, baby. That old nitro just
nice.
Cooking down the lake.
Yeah,
and, zipping through.
We made one stop for Gabe to spit. He was about to drown. chewing tobacco on a 40-mile run's not the best thing. So I thought there was an emergency, but he tapped me. We slowed down. He spit, and then we got back on her. But we went up there and practiced, and we caught, you know, quickly, like, four nice ones. So we thought, here we go.
Right.
Made that run in the morning and we didn't get bit, and we came back to where we were. It, you know, we just never been to the lake.
Right.
So we were punching grass. And if you don't know anything about Pickwick, it's a lake on the it's the Tennessee River, dam at both ends. And
gotcha.
Lots of grass on one end, the shallow end. And yeah, we just really didn't know what we were doing.
Right.
And same thing. We
just
got to
learn.
Yeah, we learned
that's
a lot.
That's the only way to do it is get out there and learn.
And that Toyota Owner Tournament is top notch. I mean,
that's
it was
cool.
Worth the trip for the swag bag.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Nice. So. Tim Shelswick, I think, is on the line with us now as well. I mentioned Tim from Drury Outdoors. Tim, can you hear me?
What's up, Toilet?
What's going on, dude?
Hi, Tim.
Great to talk with you.
I'm just itching to get back in the deer stand right now. It's go time.
I know, right? So we have Mike Marfeld, professional fisherman here, and now Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors joins us on the phone. Want to talk to you about that. I want to finish this discussion. And Tim, of course, you know, you have a very extensive fishing background as well. So feel free
Tim,
to jump in.
Tim, it's go time with the fishing too.
So
That's
what I wanted
100%.
To, yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because you were on the show a couple weeks ago, Mike,
right.
And it was just as the weather was starting to turn, but it wasn't cold like
this
it is now.
This is the cold we need to make
it go.
You know,
it was not summer anymore when we talked. It was like in the 60s.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about 40s.
When I tell you fishing's a lot like hunting, just like Tim said, when he said it's go time for the fish too.
Yeah, and so a lot of people think the season is over for fishing. They think, you know, summer's over, it's cold outside, pack up the fishing poles and wait for spring. But you said a couple weeks ago, no, November is the time is a great time to fish.
Yeah,
so could you just kind of explain how that works?
Well, the fish are going to have to feed up. I mean, they know it's coming. They're not going to be able to move real quick in the cold water, being that they're cold-blooded. So they're going to go get fat.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go get fat. So they're going to move up shallow.
I'm doing the same thing right now.
Right? Right? So, yeah, I have a tournament this week in our championship. And, it's a big change in the weather. So it's going to be a good thing. It's a change for the better. Now,
How much time is left until it is too late?
Till the water gets hard. Honestly.
Till it's frozen.
It'll get slower because the fish are going to be moving slower. But from now until the water gets below, say, 50 degrees, it's game on.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, and you're talking about warm water species. I spent a good chunk of 2 weekends ago down on the upper portion of the Merrimack River, which down below Merrimack Spring there is a cold water fishery. And because the air temperatures are coming down, the rest of the river is starting to kind of start to match the spring water in terms of temperature. And the trout are spreading out, they're dispersing, and they're feeding up like Mike said. And we stopped counting fish. We floated from just above the park, 7 miles down to Scott's Ford. And we caught a good, mostly rainbows, a few browns here and there. But man, on the fly rod, it was murder on those trout, because they know winter's coming. Insects are going to get a little more scarce, and larvae are going to get a little more scarce for them to chase. And so they are feeding up, and it's a great time to be fishing trout too.
Mm. Tim, did you make any sandwiches out of any of those?
No trout sandwiches.
Oh, man. That's disappointing.
At least I released all those trout. It's a Red Ribbon Trophy section.
Oh, okay.
A Red Ribbon, okay. Red Ribbon Management area through there. So the fishing's really good. I think you're allowed to keep two. Mm. But we were actually on assignment for, I'm writing an article for the Missouri Department of Conservation that I'll publish in the October 2020 edition of the magazine, all about taking in Missouri's incredible fall colors floating while you're fishing. And so it's kind of this trifecta of Missouri in the fall. And so they asked me if I'd go catch fish down on some Ozark stream. And I was like, I will do that. And so we went and took a bunch of great pictures and got a great story and bent a lot of rod in the process.
Nice.
But there's just so much to do in the fall. Whether you're deer hunting or like right now, it's still, I guess we're on the tail end of October. There's a fall turkey season people kind of forget about. You can hunt turkeys with shotguns all through the month of October, and people forget about that because they're just focused on spring turkeys because they gobble more. But heck, you can have a ton of fun chasing fall gobblers too.
Nice.
And you can take hens during the fall turkey season. So fall is just an incredible time in Missouri.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great time to be outside right now. I mean, it's fire pit weather, and it's just a great time to be getting outside just because you have to put your jacket on.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that doesn't hurt anything.
Sipping on pumpkin flavored drinks.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. No, you're not both.
I like
guy.
My coffee to taste like coffee, my whiskey to taste like whiskey. I'm with you.
Wow.
He's a man's man. I'm not. I want to get into some hunting questions for Tim in a second, but this is kind of ties into both of, you know, Tim, I know you're obviously very much into conservation and that whole thing, and Mike, you're on the water a lot, and one of the issues that we've heard about over the last few years on water everywhere in the United States is the Asian carp situation.
Yes.
Mike, have you ever been on have you ever ran through a mess of that where they're
flying?
Absolutely,
I've worn a couple of those right in the chest.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How worried as a professional fisherman are you about that species ruining some of the waterways, the lakes and rivers we have around here?
Yeah, I'm not a scientist, but I know it can't be good.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do about it. I mean, I know Grafton put a processing plant in, and then everybody complained about the stink, so they quit doing that. You know, they were commercial fishing for them and processing them and shipping them overseas. But yeah, it's a concern. It's and outside of that, it's also frightening.
Yeah,
it really is. I mean, like I said,
the first time it happened to me on the water, I was not prepared for it, and all I was doing was running a trolling motor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you see the videos when you've got your big motor going, and that stirs them up.
If they're close enough, a trolling motor will do it.
So I was just putting around with a trolling motor, and all of a sudden this thing flies over the top of our boat, and it jumped the boat long ways.
Oh, yeah.
It went from the front to the back and cleared. Now, it was just a little 11-foot John boat that I was in, but it cleared the whole boat long ways. I was in the back. The guy I was fishing with was in the front. He spins around and looks at me. He's looking like a ghost. I'm looking like a ghost. Like, holy smokes, did you see that thing? It was like a flying torpedo.
And they're huge. 20 pounds.
Yeah,
so,
they are huge fish. Tim, you and I have talked about Asian carp, but it's been a long, long time. What's the, as far as you know, what's the latest development in that, and how big of a concern is that for people who, you know, enjoy the water in Missouri and Illinois and everywhere, really?
Yeah, I think my biggest concern is you are assigning a nationality to a fish whose pronoun you probably don't even know, Tony.
Oh, no.
You probably haven't even asked them.
Is it Zare? Is it Z?
who knows? You are unpolitically correct when it comes to fishing, sir. You know, they're here to stay. The IDNR, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, has begun stocking alligator gar into some of the waters. Like, I know over in the Kaskaskia River Basin, they are stocking alligator gar over there. Maybe the Mississippi. Alligator gar get massive, and they were once native to this area, and I don't know if it was sport fishing or what that took them out, or commercial fishing. I'm not sure what took them out, but they're really the only fish that gets big enough that could potentially put a dent in these fishes' populations. So there's that. There's been a little bit of research into whether one of the variants of the herpes virus could attack Asian carp specifically and leave our native fishes alone. I'm not sure what the latest on that was, but that was, they were kind of buzzing about that a couple years ago. Bow fishing
Who's the guy that's being volunteered to give the fish a sexually transmitted disease?
Okay, now you come over here. I got something for you. Come over here.
Tim, have you ever seen the Peoria carp hunters on YouTube?
I don't want to be patient X on that deal.
No.
That's like the intern at the Department of Conservation that gets stuck doing that job.
We're making light of it, and I'm sorry. It is, you know, that's just funny to hear, but it really is. It really is a serious problem, and you know that alligator gar. I've heard that that idea before in the past, but you know that makes me nervous about solving that problem with
government
and putting more fish of a different species in the water. It's like the kid's book, the old woman that swallowed a fly. It's like
she swallowed
a fly, so then she swallowed a frog to get the fly, and then swallowed a cat to get the frog, and then a dog. Like, you just...
It would be more of an issue.
Keep making the problem. Chad's looking at me like, what are you talking about? It's a book, I promise.
Never even heard of that.
It's a kid's story, I promise.
Sounds like an irrational course of action.
It
would be more of a concern if it weren't a native fish.
Right, right.
So the alligator gar once swam these waters, and they're just looking to, kind of like what they're doing with elk right now, reintroducing elk into Missouri. So, yeah, I would have more concern about that if they were a non-native species, but they're supposed to be here. So I think it's kind of killing two birds with one stone almost.
Gotcha. All right, we need to take a quick break, but Tim, you can stick around, right?
Oui.
All right.
That means yes.
Yes, Tim's going
to French.
Tim's
going to
stick around with us. Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, is in studio. TJ Kurgan is also going to be joining us in the next segment, and I think for the rest of the show. So we've got a packed house, and we've got a lot more to go. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to Second Amendment and Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with producer Chad Ellis, also professional fisherman Mike Marfell in studio. And now, as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us in studio and for the rest of the show is TJ Kurgan, the owner of Tactical SH-T. That's how we're going to do it.
SH-T, a.k.a. Sig Glock and Colt.
There you
go.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Great to see you. Got some gun issues. I've got a story. You're sticking around for the whole show, right, Mike? And Tim Shelsvik is on the line with us as well from Drury Outdoors. I'm going to tell a story in the next segment. Tim, unfortunately, you're going to miss it. But it's going to blow your guys' mind. And I want to get specifically TJ's reaction to the story that I'm going to tell, something that happened to me this last weekend that is gun-related.
Cool.
I won't go any further
than
that.
I'm new to the business, Chad, and they call that a teaser, right?
Yeah, I want to get his thoughts on maybe some of the legal ramifications that may have happened to me in this story. So
I am not an attorney.
We'll get into
that. Play one on TV.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Right now, Tim, I mentioned that you work for Drury Outdoors. Obviously, been on the show many, many times. It's hunting season, full blown, and you guys have a really cool podcast and a really cool app that you guys do that sort of helps everybody with their hunting this year. Could you talk to people about the DeerCast app and the podcast that you're on?
Yeah. Our podcast is called the 100% Wild Podcast, and myself and Matt Drury host it. And we have industry professionals and hunting celebrities hop on with us every week. We typically publish those on Wednesday. We just did a Halloween episode this past week and talked to Jeff Lindsay from the Lindsay Way. And it's a great time. Matt and I both have kind of similar takes on bow hunting, and we share the ups and the downs and the failures, and it's not all pretty. And you get some of the behind the scenes on what it takes to put together a hunting show. And it's just a lot of fun. But yeah, the primary thing that I'm responsible for is serving as the editor in chief of DeerCast. And DeerCast is an app. It's now available through any internet browser at DeerCast.com. But it takes into account 13 different weather and meteorological values, and takes into account what the peak estrus date is for your local area, and it crunches through real-time weather data provided by the Weather Channel, and then it tells you when the most likely times for deer movement are going to be throughout all the way from today out to 10 days. And so it really helps. Like, I've got a young family, and I've got a lot of stuff going on, and so I don't get to spend as much time in the stand as I'd like to. It's very precious. So I have to be judicious with my hunting time, and DeerCast allows me to pick out the best days to get a kitchen pass to go and sit in the stand and maybe try to kill a good buck. So, so in addition to deer movement, it also is kind of a social media hub. Users can hop on there. They can post their own success photos from the field. We have all of our videos from 1989 on. It's over 116 full featured hunting titles that you can watch. And we post all of our online content goes in there. Our team members post their kills in there in real time. You can also see their real time impact shots. So once our team members have a successful recovery of a deer in the field, they will take video of the screen on their big HD broadcast camera and show you the actual moment of truth and the arrow or the bullet hitting the deer hopefully going down in the field. But you get to see that in real time. So not only is there kind of just a cool factor of getting to see a hunt before it publishes a year mm-hmm. later on television, but you also, as a hunter, get to really see what strategies and tactics are working in the moment so you can use those to inform your own hunting.
Nice. And where are we at in hunting season right now? What season are we in? How much time do we have left? And how much longer do people have that they can take advantage of DeerCast this season?
We kind of call, so DeerCast is up and active, and we have new content, new articles, and videos publishing every day. I mean, it's just a steady stream of quality hunting content, and it's really an education. Right now, as far as the deer hunter is concerned, we call November Sweet November because it's really the time when big mature bucks are out chasing does. And if you're going to see deer, if you're going to kill a good buck, it's probably going to be in November. And so even some of the people that are a little more along the lines of a fair weather hunter know that November is the time to get out. And you see numbers like last Sunday night, I sat out and I killed two does at 20 yards with my bow. And so that's meat in the freezer, but it also means that, man, those bucks are going to be coming around to check those does, to check their estrus, see where they are, see if they're ready to breed. And bucks that to this point have been kind of food to bed and bed to food and homebodies are starting to cover more ground, which makes them more vulnerable to someone sitting in the stand and mm-hmm. maybe taking them out.
TJ, we were talking off the air about gun sales and talking about, we've talked on this show before about Barack Obama as the greatest gun salesman of all time. And obviously, with all of the things happening in the election, you know, if a Democrat gets into office, that, you know, that scares a lot of Second Amendment people because we feel like our rights are going to be infringed on. So obviously that sparks people. But when hunting season comes around, do you guys see a boost there in sales and as far as with shotguns and
yeah,
things like
you know,
that?
most of our customers, they're into hunting ISIS.
Yeah.
Which ISIS is coming. ISIS is coming.
Can you find those in the forest here?
ISIS, fortunately not, but ISIS is always in season, although they are getting harder to find under the Trump administration.
That's a fact.
I digress. Yes, we do see a pickup specifically on ammo sales, and 10-round magazines do real well around now because a lot of guys want to take their black rifle hunting, uh-huh. you know, and it's 223 or 5.56 is not a good hunting round. For deer, for example. However, there's a lot of newer calibers that people are able to, you know, build an upper to go on their 5.56 lower, like 6.8, 308, 300 blackout is very popular for deer at close range within 200 yards, which most deer hunting in Missouri is around that. So
yeah.
So we see a lot of those guys have the traditional 30-round magazine, you know, the 30-round mag clip that shoots 300 rounds per second and all that.
According to bullets.
Yes. And so you can't hunt with a 30-round magazine, so we see an increase in the 10-round sales to keep the game wardens happy.
Right. In Illinois, Tim, am I correct? It's 5 rounds, right?
I don't know. I haven't hunted the People's Republic for deer hunting for
God bless
years.
You. Take back the French comment.
I bow hunt it, but you'll probably pretty soon they're probably going to pass some legislation. You have to limit the number of arrows in your quiver.
No
or something.
Kidding.
Silly
no
like
kidding.
That.
You have to blow a whistle and give them a chance.
And just deer hunting wise, like if you take a kid out, 223 is not the best deer hunting rifle, but Winchester makes a Deer Season XP that has really good fragmentation characteristics. So, like, my daughter hunts with my black rifle. She's 7 years old. She hunts with my AR because it has so little kickback. She's not afraid of it. And people are always like, well, you know, what do you need that black rifle for? You know, it's overkill. It's an assault weapon.
That weapon of war.
Yeah. For a lot of kids, it's their introduction to the legitimate sport of hunting, and,
right.
and a lot of guys use them for coyotes, and they're great for coyotes. So
there's
multiple applications for that platform.
Yeah, Tim. Before we lose you and we shift the conversation to more gun law stuff. What's the latest with chronic wasting disease? That really caught on in the spring, and there was a lot of awareness being raised for that. And then I feel like it just kind of went away. And my guess is the issue hasn't gone away, but some of the awareness has.
Man, I just don't know. And I sit smack dab in the middle of the whitetail world, and there's more questions than there are answers. The MDC just relaxed a lot of their CWD, their feed and their mineral site bans across the state. Now, it's not across the entire, I mean, there are still CWD feeding and mineral bans, but they've relaxed some of those and lifted some of the prohibitions in some counties. So I just don't know. I wish I did. And I think that if a lot of people were honest, I think more people would be saying that I don't know than digging their heels in on this one. I wish I did, Tony. It's a great question, but I think there's just still more research that needs to be done.
How worried about it are you? Like, how big of a deal do you think it could be? Is it something that we should all, you know, try to educate ourselves on, or is it, you know, maybe not that big of a deal?
I think people do need to pay attention to the counties they're hunting. I think that if you kill a buck the first couple, or if you kill a deer the first couple of days of rifle season, most places around Missouri, I think you have to submit it for testing. So definitely obey the laws that the MDC or the regulations the MDC is putting into place so they can help get the best picture. I go back and forth. I've heard people talk about, well, heck, if the deer are peeing on soybeans and there's prions of CWD in the urine, and now China doesn't want to buy our soybeans, it could destroy our entire export economy. And then I hear people say, well, there's been CWD out west for years, and that population is stabilized, and it's no big deal. It's just like end of the world or no big deal. There just doesn't seem to be any right. middle ground, and I really don't know.
That is Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors. We are going to lose him going into the next segment. TJ and Mike are going to stick around. Tim, before we let you go, tell people one more time how they can get the DeerCast podcast, how they can listen to or the app, and how they can listen to the podcast and all that good stuff, social media, websites, everything.
Yeah, you can get DeerCast in any of the Google Play or the Apple Store. You can also get it on your computer at DeerCast.com. There's a free version. There's a $9.99 a year and a $19.99 a year version. And you can find our show, the 100% Wild Podcast, or the Thinking Woodsman Show, and pretty much any place you get podcasts.
Very good. Great stuff, my friend. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Nice talking to
Miss
you.
Miss you, Tony. Yeah. Miss you guys.
Back at you,
good
buddy.
Luck out there.
That's right.
Be safe.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we've got plenty more Second Amendment Radio to go. Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, and TJ Kurgan from Tactical SH *T. That's how we're doing that in the studio for more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors on 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and The Great Outdoors on 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo here with a packed studio. Chad Ellis, Mike Marfell, the professional fisherman, TJ Kurgan from Tactical SH*T. I want to get You're getting good at saying it that
way.
Man,
you're getting good already. Right? I'm impressed.
We've had a great show so far. We've had Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors join us in the first couple segments. Mike's been here for the whole show.
Yeah. The deer.
We're going to get into some gun stuff. I have a story that I'm going to tell everybody here in just a second that I want to get your reaction to. If you missed any of the show today or you want to hear it again, don't forget you can always download the podcast. It is absolutely free on the radio.com app. You can also get it on our website, but the radio.com app is really slick, is the way to do it. Download the app. Like I said, the app's free. Once you have it, you favorite the radio station, and everything inside the app is also free. You can stream the station 24/7. We have a new rewind feature where you can, if you're listening to a podcast, you can rewind, fast forward. You can rewind live radio while you're streaming it, which is really cool. And you can get the podcast of not only this show, but all the shows here on the radio station right there on the radio.com app. So check that out. Okay, so here's what happened to me. It was this past weekend. It was Sunday night. I have, I get a little OCD when I'm working in the yard.
You don't say.
And I was cutting the grass and it was getting dark and... And so I'm rushing, and then it's almost dark. I'm done cutting the grass. I've got these trees in the backyard along the fence line that are they're like a hybrid tree slash giant bush, and they're 15 feet tall, but they're
creating
not like
privacy,
they don't
right?
but they don't have just one trunk. It's just a mass of trunks and roots and everything growing out of the ground and creating these big giant bushes, right? So I'm I poke my head under there and I see some dead branches, and so I get up under there with a trimmer and I'm trimming these dead branches, and it's getting now really dark. So I go and I get my headlamp and I get back up under there and I'm trimming these bushes. The guy who lives behind me has a dog, and I'm real close to the fence lines. This dog is barking at me like crazy, so I have my headphones in, and I'm listening to a podcast because it's better than listening to this dog barking. And then I hear some voices. Now, I'm in my backyard, a fenced-in backyard, and trimming the bushes, and I hear a voice. But again, with headphones on and a dog on, or a dog barking, I just barely hear that there's a voice outside. So I take my headphones off, and I say, hello? Nothing. I say, hello? And all of a sudden a voice says, you better identify yourself, you're going to get shot. I'm in my backyard trimming my trees on a Sunday evening. And I said, excuse me? And he said, you heard me, you're about to get shot. And I said, well, you better hit because I'll shoot back.
Amen.
Yeah, I think I know where this is going.
So it was a neighbor who saw the light in the dark bouncing around in the back. He's coming out, and he's going to shoot me in my backyard while I'm trimming branches.
And he's going to go to jail.
I'm not on his property. I'm not.
He's doing you a favor.
Yeah, I think, does he think that? That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, do you think that you're like the neighborhood watchman? But, I mean, literally.
I'm not a lawyer either, TJ, but I'm pretty sure you're
at that point, I had probably been.
Shoot somebody.
Castle law pretty much involves your castle,
yes,
I think.
Yeah. At that point, I had probably been under the trees. Like, on my knees, in the mud, up under these trees.
Situational awareness is lacking with your neighbors.
Yeah. So if I was up to no good, I wouldn't be hiding. I wouldn't be bouncing around in these trees for a half an hour. And I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, I'm not, depending on that flashlight, you know those one flashlights we have, those are great. So if I seen one of those,
one of those
bouncing
it's
around, I probably would have been
headlamp.
Like, yeah, I would have been like, what's going on out there? So... Because it's extremely bright, so it probably like reflected in his house, and he was like, oh no, it's not going
to
happen.
I don't think
that.
It got to his house, because I was really deep in the bushes.
So do you live in a neighborhood where crime is a regular thing?
We live in a good neighborhood. Okay. I mean, we live in North County. We live in Florissant,
right.
You know, so,
okay.
You know, whatever. And, but no, I don't have a, we don't have a, we live in a great neighborhood. But yeah, this guy is going to shoot me. Because I'm trimming trees in my backyard. My question is, like you said, you're not a lawyer, but just to the room, how do you respond to something like that? What would you do? And how big of a dangerous situation is he and I in at that exact moment that he says he's going to shoot me.
Extremely dangerous, especially if you were armed yourself.
Right.
Were you armed?
I was not at the time, but I, you know.
But you're bluffing.
He didn't know. I was bluffing, yeah. Right. But I mean, you know, the gun was inside, but, you know.
What, did you see his gun? Did he have a gun?
I never saw him. I'm telling you, these are thick bushes, and I was up underneath them. I never saw him.
So these bushes between his house and your house?
Yeah, he's like catty corner.
Okay.
So he's not right behind, he's over in the corner.
So was it his dog barking or someone else's dog?
His neighbor's dog.
His neighbor's dog, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's just
I've been calling at you.
Well, you had headphones on.
And I said, I have headphones on. And he said, well, you better take them off or you're going to get shot.
Were you using a power trimmer?
I'm going to take off my headphones or I'm going to get shot in my backyard? I'm thinking to myself, what is happening right now?
Oh my.
People are paranoid, I think.
Yeah, right? and when their adrenaline starts to dump, you say things that are it comes out wrong,
right.
And you know, you say things that you probably shouldn't have said, or in the manner that, you know, he shouldn't be saying. Well, I'm going to shoot
take
you.
Take those headphones off, or you're going to get shot.
Take your headphones off, or you're going to get shot.
That's not going to work out real well
like
in court for him.
Yeah, no, it was not an electric trimmer.
Oh, so it wasn't making a lot
old fashioned.
But here's the thing. I mean, I get it. The scenario makes it seem that way, but dude, if he's still 40 yards from your house, you got a lot more time to wait and let him show himself on your side of the fence.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll sit there and wait for
he
you.
He was at least, maybe.
I might even just hamstring you with
the
bat.
He wasn't 40 yards, but he was probably 40 feet away, you know, at that point.
Yeah, it sounds like you're. Did you guys, have you talked since?
No. I've never talked to this guy in my life.
That's
the problem.
You know, well, I mean,
that's the problem.
Yeah,
you're a bad neighbor.
If you want to talk about
he's protecting, if he's Mr. Neighborhood Watch, which I appreciate you being Mr. Neighborhood Watch, actually, I really do.
Sure,
but I mean, have some awareness.
The dog, I get how it happens.
Have some awareness and some common sense.
No, but obviously, he was in the wrong. You know, Castle Law doctrine. You know, he has the ability to utilize his firearm in defense of himself or his family or his property if someone is advancing upon him and causing him to fear for his life.
Yeah.
You know, and in this situation, you were not a threat. You were merely somebody rustling in the bushes, which is not a threat. Which obviously, if you are suspect that somebody's trying to come into your backyard by rustling through the bushes, sure, you can give them verbal commands, let them know you're there with a flashlight, let them know you're armed and that you will defend yourself. But just threatening to shoot somebody, especially if they don't take their headlights or their headphones off, you know, and when they're not a threat, that's not going to work out real well for you in court, which is why, you know, if, you know, in Missouri, you know, it's a constitutional carry state, you know, one of several now. And I think that's a great thing. It's a win for the Constitution, but it's a loss for common sense, because now that it's not required to take training, CCW training.
You got a lot of people that got a gun at 40 and don't know.
And they have no idea what the current laws are.
Sure.
You know, I was a police officer for years, and when I quit being a police officer in like 2003, 2005, that's around the time that CCW became a thing. You know, when I was a cop, nobody was allowed to carry a gun off their property or in their car or anything. Mm-hmm. If you had a gun on you, it was gun, 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 bang, bang, bang. You know, I was shooting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now this right that we've had since 1776 I'm being facetious, it's been around since like 2003. It's all new.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws have changed so many times that even, like, you know,
municipality.
Yeah, I took the CCW course in 2003, and I learned things about being a civilian with a gun that would have otherwise gotten me in trouble as a ex-cop with a gun, thinking I still have the rights that a cop did.
Right. You know what I thought of immediately is that, what if he would have said that to somebody that did have their gun on them and maybe didn't have the patience that I did? I mean, I could see somebody saying, you just said you're going to shoot me. That's a physical threat. I could fear for my life
at that
point.
Really bad,
so,
really fast.
At that point, you did fear for your life.
Exactly.
And if you had a firearm, you probably would have been justified in using it, because he came out and threatened to shoot you.
Yeah.
Regardless, you're going to have a large lawyer bill on you.
Because that's the law. I mean, if I fear that my life is in danger.
On your property, absolutely.
On my property, am I able to use a firearm at that point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, okay, he said he had a firearm, but did you see a firearm?
No, I didn't see him.
So at that point, if you can't see him and you don't visually see the firearm, right. I don't think it's time to start shooting.
No, I agree.
But you are well on your way to being justified in defending yourself should the moment arise.
I mean, he's putting him and me in a real bad, real dangerous position.
This happens a lot. You know, when you first started telling this story, and all the way up to the point where you were saying, you know, I'm going to shoot you if you don't take your headphones off.
Yeah.
You know, I was totally thinking. I even said, I know where this is going. I thought you were going to say it was a cop.
Oh,
because
there
are so many stories now of law enforcement getting a call from a neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Just happened a week or two ago. Neighbor sees the front door open on the house at 3 a.m, and he calls the police on a non-911 number. And the police show up at the house, and a relatively untrained, super nervous officer decides to do a perimeter check. He sees a black female through the window of a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
He immediately points his flashlight and his gun at her through the window outside her house, says, "Don't move, bang. Or let me see your hands, bang." I watched the video. It looked very sympathetic. Like he didn't mean to pull the trigger. You know, it was an accident. He had his finger on a trigger, which he should never had his finger on a trigger until he's ready to fire, right?
Nope.
It's one of the rules of firearm safety.
He got his training from television, yeah.
Right. So he accidentally shoots this woman in her bedroom while she's playing video games with her niece or nephew or whatever.
Wow.
And this is happening more and more where officers are being sent to do, you know, wellness checks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming to someone's house and ended up shooting the homeowner because they didn't, announce themselves. That's where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
Yes. So it can be the neighbor or it can be the police. What if it was the police?
Right.
They got a call from the neighbor coming into their backyard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that could have happened easily.
Yeah.
You know, that also illustrates that story reminds me of, it's not exactly the same, but it reminds me of things that have happened with these red flag laws where we've seen, you know, people get red flag orders called on them and police show up at their house at 4:30 a.m. because their neighbor doesn't like them and knows that they have guns and they're going to screw with them and things turn out badly. This first time TJ's been on the show, we talk a lot about red flags on laws on this show. How are we out of time? Are we real close? What are you doing over there? You make me nervous. We're good. Okay. All right. You were going to the board. I thought I was going to have to rush through this one. What are your thoughts on the whole red flag issue?
I'm all about defending, you know, or being against the red flag issue. Matter of fact, I was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow for the Second Amendment rally on the North Lawn of the White House on the 2nd of November, which I guess is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up canceling that because duck season's starting and my priorities are out of whack. So I'm going duck hunting. I'm sending somebody else to the Second Amendment rally. But the we actually have a shirt we made at Tactical SH _T. It's "Don't Flag Me, Bro." And it's a AR-15 with a red flag coming off of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the reason we're adamantly against this is because red flag laws, the way they're currently described, the way they're currently adopted by, I believe, like 14 states, is that they are a violation of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Not just one, but like five of them.
That,
right?
That takes a lot of skill. That's a special kind of
situation. And the scary thing about red flag laws is they seem common sense on the surface.
Sure.
You know, like you go talk to any one of our moms and they'd be like, "Well, that's just common sense. If somebody's crazy, they shouldn't have a gun." Well, of course, that's correct. You know,
and that's times I've been called crazy.
Right. But that's the thing. Crazy is subjective, right? Currently, it's against federal law to purchase a firearm if you've been adjudicated mentally defective, right? According to my research, about 1 out of 10 Americans, 4% of Americans are psychopaths, 5% of Americans are sociopaths, so 9% of Americans are capable of physical violence without remorse, yet only a fraction of those have ever been adjudicated a mentally defective.
Right.
So that is where the problem is, right?
Yeah.
The adjudication part.
People don't realize, like you just said, it sounds very common sense. People don't think that there's going to be that many false allegations.
That's one step towards the Gestapo.
And there's tons. That we've seen thousands of them. Divorces that go wrong where a spouse knows that the person they're divorcing loves their guns and just wants to do everything they can because they're so mad at them for whatever is breaking up the relationship. Or a neighbor has a Trump sticker on their car and, "I hate Donald Trump, so I'm going to call in the red
have
flag.
Have you ever been reported on social media? Have you ever had post pulled on social media?
Yes, we have.
Well, it's going to start working harder because I haven't.
It's going to be that easy. You know,
right.
I don't like
that's
what he posted on
great
his news feed. And so instead of unfollowing him, I'm going to report him to the FBI red flag hotline.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'm going to have it's a, the equivalent of swatting him.
Yeah.
Now, this,
yeah,
now the cops
ridiculous.
Are coming to my front door, and we're going to have a problem.
Unfortunately, we are out of time.
Dang it, we need to make it a two-hour show.
I know, we need to make it a two-hour show. You got that right. Mike Marfell, professional fisherman, thank you so much.
Thank
TJ,
you for having me,
tell folks the best way to learn more about the shop, website, social media,
all
that stuff.
If you Google Tactical SH, some letter I can't say right now, T, or just Tactical SHT, you will find us on Google. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. I have my own podcast. It's called Shots Fired. You can find it on all the podcast platforms. And
nice.
I actually do my podcast after major shootings, and what we do is kind of Monday morning quarterback, what happened to led up to it, what laws would have stopped it, none, and, you know, what happened during the event and what is happening because of the event. We usually do that, you know, every time there's a major shooting somewhere in the nation, not in Chicago, or I'd be on the air all day.
Yeah,
long.
You don't have enough time.
But yeah, we're located in St. Peter's, right off the Cave Springs exit, and we've got all, I mean, if you love the Second Amendment, you will love the Tactical SH asterisk T store, the website, the social media, the whole deal.
Well, we appreciate you coming in, and we'll have you back on again real, real soon. That is going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll see you back next week on 97.1 FM Talk. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.